No,
I don't want to tell the world anything.
Okay.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I keep hearing that.
That's the truth. Men like to say that all the time.
You're leading out.
Am I? I'm leading out?
I let out last time.
Okay. So, what's the intro? Is there an intro?
We all have intros.
Okay. It's Monday morning, and...
Welcome to the world of precious metals.
Episode one.
Diamonds, fine jewelry, rings and things.
All that jazz.
Okay.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
Yep. We glad to be here.
You know. You know, here at Alex Lexington, we like to have a good time.
Yeah. When you work with your spouse, stuff like that happens.
Thank goodness, HR. Yeah,
you're an HR nightmare. It's okay.
I'm an HR nightmare.
We still love you, though.
So let's get to the nitty gritty.
What are we talking about today?
Well, hi, Captain. Break out the notes.
So, general question, just, you know, we like to educate. Learning moment. Why don't you buy silver-plated items?
I'm going to give a case scenario. First of all, it's not really worth anything. Think of it like a layer of skin on top of brass, copper,
nickel,
pewter.
Really, whatever they could just lay silver over.
Correct.
That's sturdy.
Can it polish? Yes.
Beautifully.
Can you tell if you don't know? No. It doesn't age well, though. And it's not silver all the way through, henceforth the term plated.
Right.
But
eventually you will completely rub it off.
And the reason why I'm giving my case scenario is because I give a lot of examples based on experience. So silver was about $30, $35 an ounce when we did this case, when we did this test run. Remember we were trying to buy a silver plate. We thought, okay, we can make some money on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were looking like you know what I was talking about for a second.
We've been at this a long time.
Okay.
There's a lot of case scenarios that have happened in the last 13 years. I just want to throw that out there because we could be here till next week talking about stories.
Okay.
That have happened.
So this scenario, silver is about $30, $35 an ounce. And people keep bringing silver plate. We have these big 55-gallon drums that we dump sludge and gunk and a bunch of other stuff. And so we said, let's get some silver plate, do an experiment. We bought it a couple cents on the dollar.
Because that's all the amount of silver that's actually in it.
Think about it like this. The price of gold is $1,600. We buy gold, we buy gold filled, which is like 2% gold, at the rate we buy silver. So if the rate of silver is only $30 an ounce, we took the silver plate, bought it, dumped it in a bucket. It was like, 200 pounds? Maybe more, three? 200-300 pounds worth of silver. Filled most of a bucket. Couldn't move the bucket.
Yeah, had to have it freight shipped.
Freight shipped.
Refiner. Recycler.
And at the end of it all, what did it pay for?
The shipping.
It paid for the shipping. So...
which means you need a truck container load.
Which like probably can't pay the gas right now.
Ships, right. In order to make any kind of money on silver plate. Because there's just not enough silver in it.
Not enough silver in it. So that is why we tell people when they have silver plate, you can give it away. Ways to tell you have silver plate, which is more important than knowing if we buy it. Because everybody wants to know, how can you tell if what I have is silver plate? There are a number of companies that produce silver plate that are very popular. Rogers Brothers, International Silver, and is there somebody else? No, there's Rogers Brothers, International Silver. Anything that says IS, which is still International Silver.
So how do you know if something's sterling?
It'll be blatantly, blatantly, blatantly marked 925 or sterling. What a novel idea. It's legal for you to use silver in your name and be silver plate.
Right.
But for you to be sterling, you have to have 925 sterling or, well, there's 800 and there's 900 and there's coin silver. All of those will be blatantly marked on the back of the item or bottom of the item. If it's a tray, it'll be somewhere on the bottom. Should I use my visual aid? Yeah. This is sterling. The items in it are not. For those that can't see, I'm holding up a like a fruit, sterling silver fruit vase. Bowl, not a vase, a bowl. And it looks like something that you would probably paint in a picture. Has some silver looking fruit and vegetables, but underneath it, it says sterling right next to the hallmark or the name. Sorry, the hallmark is the stamp. The stamp is going to be the name. And the name is going to have all the information right beside it.
Right.
Is that a thorough breakdown?
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure people follow, even for those that aren't watching.
Oh, it makes sense to me because this is what I do every day.
Gotcha. I've got a jewelry question.
Okay.
So, since you're doing your GIA official course.
Official. I'm working on my graduate gemologist degree.
So you're going to be a running joke is geminologist, which is not a true term.
No.
You are a gemologist.
I will be a gemologist, just like my daddy. My yes. daddy is a gemologist.
My daddy. Yeah.
Following in his footsteps.
What are these C's people keep talking about? Everybody talks about these four C's.
When you're talking about diamonds, the four C's are the most important things to know about diamonds. Now, I say that to say to know about, I don't expect people to be able to look into a diamond and just determine what these C's are. When someone is presenting a diamond to you, when they give you the four C's, it is going to give you an idea in your head about how nice this diamond is.
What the price is essentially going to be.
Right.
What makes it valuable.
So the four C's are color, cut, clarity, and carat. I'll go backwards from the way I said it because it's going to be a little easier. Carat is the weight of the diamond. There's no...
What makes it big? That's right. The carat.
Everybody
wants lots of carats.
It's easy to determine. I say it's easy to determine the carat because some of those other C's is opinion based loosely. So the carat, you stick it on a scale. The carat weight is the carat weight. It either weighs 1 carat, 2 carat, 5 carat, 100 carats. That's cut and dry.
Something that would be in a crown.
Right.
In light of the climate that we're in right now.
The current situation, because of course the queen
has passed
and her jewelry collection and the royal? You know, I don't follow it enough.
The royal family.
The jewelry that they have, their collection is museum type stuff.
Yes.
There's some of their things probably sit in a museum when they're not using it.
And the way things are looking, they'll be going back to their original museums.
We'll find out. Yet to be determined. People have said they need to go back, I've heard. I've heard people say it's been requested, but...
Yeah. Not the task at hand.
Well, exactly. That is not pertinent. That's carat weight. One of the other C's is color. Now, color is something that is determined based on where it falls in the color grading system. So a D color is the best color grade there can be. And that means there is just no color in this stone. They are rare, but they exist.
Flawless. Also referred to as flawless.
No, flawless because now you're getting into clarity. You're getting
ahead. I'm sorry.
And I'm not in class. The D, right? D color is the best. It goes all the way to Z. Once you get past I colors.
No bueno.
That is when the naked eye starts to see the yellows and browns in the color, in the stone, excuse me. And the better the color, the more expensive the stone is going to be. So you talked about flawless. Ooh, I hit the thing. You talked about flawless.
Okay.
And flawless diamonds means not on the inside or the outside. Do you find any imperfections whatsoever? Everything is perfect. All of the facets are perfect. The polish is amazing. There are no openings in the inside of the stone.
What does that mean to me in real life?
That really means nothing to you unless you have a lot of money to spend on it.
Imperfection is key to you.
Imperfection brings diamonds into a realistic price range. So you start with flawless, and there's internally flawless, meaning that there are little things on the outside that are negligible. After you get out of the internally flawless, then you get into the VVS, the very, very slightly included, then the very slightly included, and then the slightly included, and the included. It goes all the way down. And the farther you get down, the more little things that are wrong are seen in the diamond. And once you get it past the slightly included, you could just look down into the diamond with the naked eye and see the issues.
Note to self,
so to speak.
If you can see it with your naked eye, the value of that stone drops significantly compared to others in that category, just based on the naked eye can see, especially right. If it's in the middle.
And this is all about what you care about, because some people don't care. They just want the diamond.
Also true.
I mean, then there are cuts. Cuts are plain and simple. There are a lot of cuts out there. The most notable is the round. And then you have the princess and the emerald, which is more rectangular, pear, marquee. Those are simple things. Then that is basically when you're buying that kind of diamond, it's what is your favorite shape? They're all going to price differently. And then the last C is, I said clarity, I did cut, color, and carat. No, I did all of them. Look at that.
Look at that.
Those are the four C's.
All right. So we had a customer asked a question over the weekend, and that question was about turning coins and bullion into a side hustle. Everybody is getting creative, figuring out other ways to streams of income.
And I don't knock it. Finding different streams of income is a beautiful thing. Passive income is the buzzword right now. How do you find passive income outside of your regular 9-to-5?
Or whatever that method of employment may be.
Exactly.
So how do I get into the precious metals business or coin business or jewelry business? You're the business mind. You're less layman's terms than me, because I'm going to tell the people in a different way, but I would prefer you give it in a more formal manner.
Formal. So I'm going to give it in the formal manner, and then you're going to do the basic, this is what it is, the cut and dry.
The world according to Dre.
The world according to Dre.
A Mr. President special.
The precious metals industry is not easy to get into. Compared to the greater whole, there are not a lot of people in the precious metals industry.
In general,
whether you're talking about jewelry stores, pawn shops, people who are deal solely in precious metals and coins and bullion, there aren't a lot compared to the
there's. Let's just use it. We're based out of Atlanta. I'd be surprised if Atlanta has more than 10 No. Do we even have 10 coin shops in Atlanta?
Maybe. Because the metro area is huge. Yeah. So it's possible.
We might have 10 total. And I'm talking about the metro Atlanta area is a, you can drive 2 hours in one direction and you're in the metro Atlanta
area. You're still in the metro Atlanta area. Yes.
So just know, ain't that many coin shops in general.
Right.
Ain't that many jewelry stores in general.
Right. So.
So get back to the money factor.
Money. Okay. Money is a great, is a barrier to entry. You know, you learn that phrase in business class, business school. Barrier to entry, because you need a lot of it, generally speaking. And precious metals is not something that you're going to generally go into the bank and...
One moment. This is an actual customer live on the call. What's up? How you doing this morning? Okay. Yeah. So you want all the silver? Yeah. I believe there's... based on what I was told, yes, because I didn't look at the numbers specifically myself, but I heard part of the conversation. So yes, that can get you where you're going. Not at the moment, but you never know what the morning may hold. We haven't opened yet. And as the day goes, so does material come in. So by the time you get here, there's probably going to be something for you to, get that's different from what you asked for. Yeah, man, no problem. Same as usual. All right, you have a good evening. Bye. That's a real life call experience.
We're gonna edit that out.
Yeah, we're gonna edit that out. We're gonna bleep out his name, but people don't know what it's like. So if you can hear a real life experience, I guess.
If you say so.
It brings authenticity to the situation. Confidentiality is our number one priority.
Right. So back, we were talking about barriers to entry. So money is going to be an issue. What else is an issue to getting into the industry? Knowledge.
Precious, legal.
Legal. Well, knowledge is even more important than legal, because it won't even matter if you get to legal, because you are going to lose everything if you buy something wrong. In this industry,
buy wrong a couple times?
In this industry, mistakes don't come by the hundred, they come by the thousand. Buying a 1 ounce gold coin wrong when gold is $2,000 an ounce, no one's giving you that money back.
Can I give a chunky man story?
A chunky man story. Okay.
So in loving memory of one of our original members who's no longer with us, he was our sales team.
He was.
I was the intern at the time. Crew. He was a one-man wrecking crew. He would sell water to a well.
A full well.
Anyway, and they pay top dollar. Nonetheless, his first week, month into entry, he went out to go pick up some material from a customer. This is when gold was on the uptick. Back when we first started, and he bought a couple ounces of gold. So we thought, brings it back to the shop. It's from an industry customer, so we were able to hash it out. Everybody that's in the industry, for example, in jewelry, doesn't necessarily know what they're doing either, because they make jewelry, they don't buy jewelry.
Well, that's a loaded statement, because anything, when you don't have an assay machine,
okay, we have a little more.
And if your barriers. Current mode of testing is through acid and there's a touch and feel to metal, then it is possible that a very good fake can get past you.
He had a bag full of them.
Right.
Somewhere between, I think it was like 8 and 10.
But gold was only $1,200 an ounce at the time.
So he brought a bunch of it back. We're looking at it. Dad is looking at it like, what the heck just happened?
Right.
And of course, because Chunky Man is who he was. He said, don't worry about it, man. I got it. I'll take it back. That doesn't happen in our industry. You buy it, you own it, you keep it, your problem.
Right.
My experience was, I call it the $1,100 learning curve. Education costs money. I did not test a coin, a bar. I thought it was a South African Krugerrand that came in bar form. South African Krugerrands only come in coin form.
Round.
A round. This was gold clad. That $1,100 still lives with me today. I keep it here for display purposes. I wore it on a keychain for a number of years. And I tell people, you'll learn real quick, because education costs money one way or another, whether this is formal school or school of hard knocks.
Right.
So,
knowledge. Right.
Barrier of entry.
There are so many different kind of coins out there. There's no way you can know all of them. Maybe the people who work for the numismatic organizations that grade coins, maybe they know everything.
They're trying to create new coins every year.
Right. So money, knowledge, legal, business licenses, requirements, holding requirements from the local government. Who is holding that? If you're in the city, does the county? It's a lot of things. And then you have some places like where we are, where they don't allow you to open those kind of businesses within a certain.
Every county has a limit on how many licenses they're given.
Right. And then there's a limit of where you can put them. You can't just put them anywhere.
Correct.
All of those things contribute to getting into the precious metals industry.
Legally.
When you get into it, the contacts that you make and the relationships that you build will be everything, because that is going to help you along the way. And unfortunately, unless you have someone that is going to start introducing you to some of these people, it's going to be harder. It's a very close-knit environment. And we have several contacts that we slowly developed ourselves, and other contacts that were like sort of given to us because of how long Dad has been in the industry. And that's why I
always plug and say, we have contacts that money can't buy, because even if you have a boatload of money, people will not do business with you, because integrity is everything. Your word is everything. And plenty of people with money rob people every day. And if someone sends you six figures of any particular category of item, they want to know that they're going to get their money.
Come hell or high water.
Come hell or high water.
Or their product back.
Or their product back.
Intact.
The way that they sent it.
Right.
Here at Alex Lexington, we're here to service all parts of the community.
Whether your budget is $30 or $300,000, in store or online, we're here to meet your needs.
So from our family to yours, see you soon.
Anything else you wanted to talk about today?
So I think I'd like to give a current events plug.
Okay.
What is your sentiment? I guess I'm using my TV terminology. What is your sentiment on the market right now?
The precious metals market as a whole?
Well, your jewelry. I guess I'll do mine. So your jewelry. But what's your sentiment on jewelry right now? What's the vibe that you're getting from the jewelry space?
Everything is basic for what I'm seeing and I follow. Everything is getting into that custom place. Everybody wants something different. They don't want what the next person had, or they don't want the same chain that everybody else has on. They want their own. They want to customize it.
Everybody wants custom. Does everybody know what custom entails?
Custom jewelry is a time-consuming, expensive process. And
it's like making art.
Right.
And watching paint dry.
Once you change one thing, you might throw yourself back to step one and you were already on step four or five because it's not, oh, I want that. Okay, it'll be ready next week. Not in custom. You got to figure out what carat it is, how heavy you can make it, how heavy you shouldn't make it, how many stones are you going to put in it? Are you putting any stones in it?
Is it comfortable?
What size? How is it going to sit? Are you going to be able to make the metal do what you want it to do? It's a whole drawn out experience. And you'll find yourself coming back to the drawing board a couple of times, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. And moving this here and changing this here can draw the process out longer than you originally thought it would be.
So I want to make something for my wife for Christmas. I have an idea. I saw a picture on Pinterest. Morning.
Morning.
I saw a picture on Pinterest and I have an idea of what I want it to be. The one on Pinterest was stainless steel. I don't want to spend a bunch of money. What's that going to be for me?
There is no cut and dry answer to custom. To any customer that called me or came in to say that, I would say, we need to sit down and have a conversation. We need to do a consult so I can understand exactly what you want done.
But how much is it going to cost me? That's what I want to know.
There's no way to price that off the top of my head. Because custom jewelry starts with an idea. It starts with a drawing. It starts with a picture. Then we go into a place called CAD.
Wait. So you're going to design me something?
I can. You can give me an idea of what you want. That's where we all start. But then there are, let's see, CAD, mold, cast, set, polish. There are 6, maybe 7 more steps past that.
Oh, shoot.
And depending on where I have to go to get it done, that could be 6 or 7 individual places, or there are some that will do it all in-house for us, but that process is not something you just quote randomly over the phone.
So you have a factory?
I have access to a lot of places. I have one that I particularly love to deal with because they're a father and son team and they are bomb.
So I saw somebody on YouTube getting a custom piece done. You telling me that they're going to 7 different places?
No. They went to a jeweler and depending on what that person is capable of doing. I mean, there are jewelers out here. And production places, they don't all deal with the public that can do it from start to finish. In this industry, you have a lot of people that specialize in one thing. There are people who specialize specifically in doing the renderings. There are people who specialize in casting metals. There are people who specialize in just setting stones. That's one of those things. You want someone who knows what they're doing, because if they don't set it properly, your stones are going to fall out.
So you tell me I'm going to pay all this money and lose money at the same time?
Not when you come to me.
Okay, I tell you one thing. I know what you do to that ring.
Right.
And
I bang this thing around. And
it's a miracle of science.
Previous to this ring that I have, that is basically an eternity band, I swore I would never wear an eternity band because you just, especially the way I tear up jewelry.
I beat the odds with this one.
Right. Every time you crunch your hand around something, you knock your hand, you hit something.
You play tennis.
If those stones aren't set right, they're just going to start falling out and cracking and chipping and breaking. And this was a good build.
Glad it worked out.
Yay.
I think that sums up.
Yeah.
So we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Hopefully you come back again and learn something else.
Yeah.
Maybe you stop on by and utilize one of our services, which include coins and bullion. We have our illustrious jewelry design consultant right here, designer and jewelry consultant, Danielle, who is Alex Diamonds, or can be found at alexlexingtondiamonds.com. My name is Andre. You can reach us through alexlexington.com, and hopefully you share with a friend, and we'll see you soon.